So, Chris, we want to talk about your new release. This one is a killer song, like the best one, I think, from the album.
How do you have that? Where'd you find it? I was like, what is that? That sounds really familiar.
That is Brother and Friend from Inside Your Love, 1995. I had like a CD that had this on it, like a compilation or something.
Okay, let me explain. I get to defend myself, okay?
Let's hear it. What's the story?
Man, that's what I saw as with the Dawson McAllister Youth Conference. I don't know if anybody would remember that and all the worship leaders out there that's showing my age, but I was a worship leader for the Dawson McAllister Youth Conference when I was in college. It was where youth music was like hand motions and all kinds of like just kind of fun kiddie songs, right? More kiddie songs. That was kind of what youth, obviously has changed a lot in 30 years. That was my big closer. That was the big song.
Were there hand motions to that one?
The whole thing was hand motions. Yeah. Yes.
In all seriousness though, let's talk about your new album. You've got a brand new album that did come out. The King Is Still the King. It released this last Friday, September 26th. And before we talk about it, I just do want to say, like, every worship leader on Loop Community on CCLI Song Select has been so impacted by your songs. I'm curious, of all your older stuff, like when you think about like those classic albums, like which one of those albums to you, when you think back on it, feels just like the most special?
I think it's pretty easy for me. Arriving, instantly I think of Arriving because I met, that's when I met Ed Cash. And that's kind of when things really shifted for me in such a broader reach. You know, I think connecting with him as a producer and helping me make these songs and make the songs better. The reason I say that, when you talk about the moment in time, the moment in life, he was producing some music that I really liked, and it was not worship music at all, but I just liked the way it sounded. And I got in contact with him and I said, would you be interested in producing my music? And he's like, what kind of music do you play? And I was like, worship music. And he said, no. And he said, I think worship music is subpar. That's what he said. He goes, I go to church and I was like, I just don't think the songs are that great. And I'm not interested in it. And I was like, wow. I mean, that's not what I thought. And for some reason, I was just relentless. And I said, well, could you pray about it? And then maybe I could follow up in a couple of weeks. He goes, sure, follow up. And so I followed up. And when I followed up, he had a whole different tone. And he said, he tells the story so well. He said he was talking to his wife about it and that he had been on the phone with me and his response to me, and he thought it was a little bit harsh, and his wife looked at him and she said, how dare you curse what God has kissed? He said it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. And so when I called back, I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, let's do this. And so we met, Matt. We met, and the first time we met, I played him this little chorus, How Great Is Our God. He was like, what do you have? What kind of songs do you have? And I played him that song, and he said, and I've never forget the end of the song. He's like, it's pretty good. And I was like, okay. And then he grabs his guitar. And I didn't know Ed could sing or play. And he grabs his guitar.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, when you sing that, I just don't feel like it's finished. I was like, what do you mean? I mean, I'm still so young in this. Co-writing was not a big thing in my world. And he's like, well, I don't think it's finished. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he grabs the guitar and he just starts going, man, when you play that, I hear this. You're the name above all names. And the whole bridge just came out. So the very first time we met, the very first thing we did, How Great Is Our God. And that became a journey with Ed and I probably 15 years of records. And, you know, and then he became the guy. You know, at Bethel, everybody started using Ed. Everybody used Ed to write songs and produce, passion, all the things. And I just love it that it started out with, no, I don't like worship music. And then he's become the producer of worship music. Obviously, God grabbed his heart, and he's been such an incredible behind-the-scenes instrumental influence in this world.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I bring this up before we talk about your new music just as a way to say, like, I hope you, like, fully realize the deep impact you've had on worship leaders and churches. You know, every single night, I have a guitar hanging on the wall. I've got three little kids. I pull this guitar down and I go to each one of their rooms. And every night I play Come Home Running. I love that song. Wow. And I sing it every night to my kids. And when I get to the part of like, he is the answer, You'll be looking for, I always say like, you'll be looking for, because I know like one day, like they're going to be searching for something, you know, and I always sing it too with like, tis so sweet, like, tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, to come home running, his arms are open wide, his name is Jesus, he understands. I just want them to have that in their heart as they grow up. And I know you've got little kids, Chris. I'm curious, like, is singing at bedtime a part of your routine? And if so, is like, what songs are like your go-tos if you do that?
Yeah, it was. And it was, you know, as I gotten older, my 14-year-old, she doesn't really want me to sing as much. But singing was a big part of it. And that's what happened with Good Good Father. You know, my wife sent me that song one day. I was on the bus. She sent me this song and she said, hey, you should listen to this song. I heard this song in a Bible study, and I don't know, I think it meant a lot to you. And it was Good Good Father. She sent me on this. And instantly just thought, this song is incredible. And I found out it was my buddy Pat Barrett who had written it. But I bring that up because I just started, that was the song I started singing to my girls at night. My wife had this early, somehow got a hold of this early like demo of it from people who were leading it at their thing. And I would sing that song with my girls at night, and that led me to reaching out to Pat and say, man, this song is so special, and I think it connects people to the heart of God in such a way. I'd love to record this and lead this, and everywhere I go, I want to play this every night. It's so special. And so being a dad of three girls is just, that's the greatest thing in my life. It really is the greatest thing in my life. Nothing is even close to me, and I know you feel that as well with your children, and it's so special. We sing a lot. We have some family worship time, and Good Good Father's been one that sang along a lot of times. And then there was probably a year or two where we sang, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," and "I Could Sing of Your Love Forever" together. Just would sing it together every time. Yeah,
"I Could Sing of Your Love Forever" is another one I go to all the time. What do you remember about "Come Home Running"? Is there any sort of like story you remember about that song or how that came to be?
I was just thinking of the prodigal son, and it was 2001, so. Was that 24 years ago? I always thought it was, I really appreciate that. I thought I wanted to write a song for, you know, I was doing a lot of, you know, altar calls and people coming into faith. And so kind of wanted to have a song for that I would do when I would go to churches and play.
I love that song. It's just beautiful. All right. So to your new album, which is so great. It came out last Friday. The King is Still the King. And we've got all the tracks and charts up on CCLI and Loop Community. So tell us about this album.
The King is Still the King. I mean, that title, right? I feel like if that title would have come out last year, people would be like, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a nice title. But it just feels like a stronger declaration of faith in the days that we're in. And there feels like a shift in our nation. Obviously, we're all feeling that. It feels like there's no more playing games. To me, I'm just sensing all that. Even my concerts, they feel completely, the intensity is way more. The longing for connection is way more for people, especially in their faith. And to be in this moment and to drop this music with this title, "The King is Still the King," what an incredible reminder. And what the reminder for me is, what I try to point people always to in my songs, and what I've always tried to point people to my music, is to lift our eyes to the greater story that we're in. That kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, governments rise, governments fall, people come, people go. Everything on this earth has a beginning and an end. Everything, except this one thing. And that's why we gather people to worship every time we gather, to point them to that, to remember that we are part of a greater kingdom that's on this earth. Everything we see here is such a small kingdom compared to the greater kingdom of Jesus, and he reigns eternally. And that's why the cover of this album, you see this crown here, it's on my hat. It's on everything. This is the most intentional album I've ever made. Everything has intention in this album. Even the cover. The cover doesn't even say "The King is Still the King." It's just this image over the landscape of the earth, the montage of the ocean, the mountains, the highlands, the deserts, the rivers, this montage of the earth with this crown that sits above it. And this crown really tells the whole story to me. The crown of thorns wrapped around the crown of the King of Kings, the royal crown. There's a song on the album. It's kind of the centerpiece of the album, the anchor of the album, and it's called "Still the King." It's where the title comes from. And there's a line in the song that says, "For the blood is still the blood, and the King is still the King." And that's those two. That's these two crowns. That when Jesus was on this earth, he wore the crown of thorns. He took on our shame. He was mocked. His blood was shed for us We know that crown of thorns that was placed in his head as the crown of mockery, and yet today he wears the crown of King of Kings. The end of the book tells it so well. I mean, it's incredible, epic chapter of Revelation 19, which if you look closely in the crown, I put Revelation 19, and it's this amazing, epic chapter of Jesus coming again, wearing that crown. It says he rides a white horse followed by the saints, and his robe is dipped in blood. The blood is still the blood. And on that robe is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I mean, it's like, that's what we're pointing people to as worship leaders. That's where we're leading people to, that reality. And so this record, hopefully in this moment of time, is leading people to that reality, that we're part of a greater kingdom, and lift up our eyes, point people to that truth of Jesus as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And How Good As It Is opens the album, which is a call to praise. It's a call to worship. What I love about that opening is it's all the Psalms. There's hardly a lyric in there that's not the Psalms. It's Psalm 92, How Good It Is to sing praise to the Most High. Psalm 113, From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Psalm 100, Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Psalm 98, The rivers clap their hands, the mountains lift their song. All of that is like in that song. From the moment this record ends to the very end of the album, This Is My Father's World, ending with He reigns forever on the throne. He reigns. This is my Father's world. And when you look at that cover and you see this world, this montage of our world, and you sing in that He reigns. This is my Father's world. Everything has kind of intention through this record. There's a thread through this album of Jesus as King. I went back way back and put You Are My King, Amazing Love on there. Just, I felt like bringing back one of the great songs that maybe is new to a new generation, and was a song that I was leading just out of college. And when I was in Texas with my 4Runner and a guitar and no band, just traveling around Texas, playing whatever church would have me play, that was a song I was leading, you know. And just, You Are My, just saying that, You Are My King, You Are My King, put that back on a record that is, the King is still the King. All those things kind of was thinking, that's a little thread that weaves through the whole record.
When I listened through it, I could tell there was so much intentionality of the song placement. It was almost like you were building a worship set list, kind of like what worship leaders think about every Sunday, of like, what journey am I taking people on? You definitely laid out these songs as a journey. I love the emoji interludes as well, where you throw scripture in. I just love that, because I also love that as a worship leader. I love incorporating scripture in between songs, in the middle of songs.
It's so important. You know, God's word is everything, right? That's why when I mentioned how good it is being God's word, I've always felt it. No one needs to hear my opinion. The church doesn't need to hear my opinion on what I think about God. It's his truth, writing his truth. And so even interjecting scripture in there, like you said, there's 4 emojis on this album. I was trying to figure out what to call these little pieces. There were little pieces of music, kind of the Selahs, right? And, you know, so I thought, well, I just call it Selah. But I was like, well, no, that's kind of obvious and for the worship leaders. So I thought I'd call it Zamar, which means the Hebrew word for instrumental praise. And I thought, maybe I'll call it Zamar. And then I had this idea, it just hit me one day. I was like, wait a minute, the King is still the King. And I was looking at that crown. I was like, man, what if it was just these crowns, these crown emojis that were all throughout the record that had these little pieces that connected the next song, that connected these pieces of music. And so that's what we ended up doing. And these emojis, and it's something that I've never done in an album before. It's a little different, and it was just some great moments. You know, I have incredible musicians with me, and my piano player one day, he's backstage, we're on tour, he's backstage just playing the piano. And I walked in, I was like, this is gorgeous, what are you playing? And he's like, I don't know, just playing. And I just grabbed my phone, put it on the piano, hit record. And that's one of the emojis you hear on there. It's just so beautiful. And so there's a lot of intention in this album.
There's a lot of really special moments. One of the songs that I love is He Has Done Great Things. And I'm a Vineyard music kid. My dad was a Vineyard pastor my whole life. And I grew up in, you know, Calvary Chapel Vineyard. And that song, when I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, this just brings me back. It sounds like an old classic song, like from like 1990. And I say that in the best way possible, because I think what I loved about Vineyard music then, it was like just so simple, simple melodies, simple lyrics. Like, it's something that, like, I like to think of as a spirit song. It's a song that you could, like, literally sing without, like, looking at lyrics. Like, once you've heard it, like, you can just close your eyes and just sing. It's a beautiful, beautiful element. Tell us about that song a little bit.
I love that you said that, because that was really the intention when we said, I wrote this with Brian Johnson and Jason Ingram. I'm always trying to capture that. You know, in the early days, like you said, one of my first songs I ever wrote was We Fall Down. And that was written in 1995. You know, there was no verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. It was just an A section and a B section. When we were talking, I was like, be great to have some of those songs again. I just long for some of those simple songs that aren't complicated, and you sing the same verse twice, just like you did Holy is the Lord and We Fall Down, those Vineyard songs. You just sing that song, and it's real. You got it the first time you hear it. And that's what came is Psalm 103, you know, just putting Psalm 103 to music. And it just, we really were intentional about, let's keep it that way. Let's not go to, now let's try to write a bridge that's bigger than the chorus. Let's just keep it that simple thing and grab your guitar or piano and just sing this. And there's something beautiful and sweet about it, but it's also, I mean, I love what it's saying. You know, I love how the words and the melody really match, as high as the heavens are above, you know, and you just feel that when you're that melody, when you sing that. And I love you bring that song out, and Phil Wickham sings it with me on the record, cause he was part of the writing as well. And, yeah, so special.
Jesus Saves. Okay, this song, you're like proclaiming the gospel, the whole song. He did what I could not do. Where there was no way, he made a way. I love that bridge. That's such a great bridge. And then the most surprising moment on the album for me was then going from that song into Help My Unbelief. I've always loved that scripture. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I remember I put actually that in a song one time, and it like shocked people. But I'm like, no, this is scripture. I love it because it's so honest, and people feel it, but I feel like they're afraid or embarrassed to admit it in a way. Like, hey, like there's a part of us that's, we are torn sometimes. Like we're like, ah, oh, do I really believe? Like, no, I do. I know I believe, but there's moments where I struggle, you know? And I love, Chris, that you gave people freedom. If Chris Tomlin can sing it, then another worship leader can sing it. I just love that you put that on there.
Yeah, and this is the surprise song on the record, like you said, probably the surprise title of my music life, right? Because when we're talking about those, all the records over all the years, you know, the songs are Wonderful Cross, Forever, Holy is the Lord, Holy Forever, How Great is Our God. It's all these songs that are trying to point people to the transcendence of God, just the worship of God, right? Just pointing people to that. And then here's this title, Help My Unbelief. And so before people are like, before people maybe say, oh no, what's happened to Chris? Let me explain. It's not that at all. You know, like you said, this is in the gospel. It's in Mark 9. And when you understand, when you really grasp the story, it's everybody's story. So let me just say it like this. This dad is, his son is needs healing, and he finds out that Jesus is coming to town, and he'll do anything, right? You can do anything to get your son in front of Jesus. And he gets in front of Jesus and he says, have mercy. He said, have mercy on us. And then he says, if you can, would you heal my child? And Jesus looks at that dad and says, what do you mean if I can? All things are possible for those who believe, which is the bumper sticker, right? That's the one we put on the back of the car. All things are possible for those who believe. But it's what the dad says next. The dad looks at Jesus and says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Who hasn't felt that? That's all of us. And what's amazing, he's standing right at Jesus and telling Jesus in his face, I do believe, but help my unbelief. And isn't it beautiful? This is a beautiful part, Matt. And this is what I hope everybody gets, is it's beautiful that Jesus did not say, well, you don't 100% believe, so I'm going to move on to the next. I see a little doubt there, or a little maybe unbelief, I'm going to move on. He healed that child because he saw that dad. He saw that faith of that dad to get to Jesus. And I think all of us have that, of like those moments in life where like, Lord, I'm struggling right now. And what I love it, the scripture is, the scripture teaches that when we're at our weakest, he's at his strongest. In our weakness, his strength is perfect. He's at his strongest when you're at your weakest. Not when you're at your strongest. When you're at your weakest, he is strong. And so to bring that honesty and say, God, I need you. And so I think a lot of people feel that at different times in life. And I say it like this, if you haven't felt that, you probably haven't lived long enough on this earth, because there's things that come at you that are unfair. There's so many things, hardships and struggles that people go through. And I wanted a song that just gives hope in the midst of that. This is not a song of despair or doubt. This is a song of hope. Lord, I'm holding on to this. I'm on my knees, Lord. I'm holding on to this. And it ends with, it is well with my soul. Because, I mean, I think that's, for me, it's the greatest hymn ever written. It's my favorite. And that song came from, I won't go into it now because most people know, but the story of that song comes from that place. You can't come from a more, I believe, help my unbelief place than that song was written. And yet, and so to tie up that help my unbelief with it is well with my soul is definitely on purpose. And we got to play all the songs on a radio show a couple weeks ago. They let me play every song and let listeners call in, and which was such a treat, because I was not ready for that and didn't know they were going to do that. And so you got to see what people responded to, you know. This is the first time to put the songs out. That song, we played it, was 10x response of any song. People were responding, this is what I needed to hear. This is exactly where I am right now. Tears coming down my face. You know, people were just texting in. And so, yeah, man, I love that. I love how songs can, I say it this way. Sometimes to have your faith, you got to sing your faith. And that's it. And when it's all you got, sometimes all you can do is just say, God, I don't know what's going on right now, but I just want to praise you.
And in our world right now, people are at a point where they're having to kind of decide, like, do I believe? Like, what is it I believe? And we're wrestling with a lot of those questions. We're out of time here, but I do just want to ask you, if there's one song on the album that you really hope worship leaders and churches would pick up and start singing this coming Sunday, could you pick one?
Oh my gosh, there's no way.
I know, that is hard. Personally, I think Jesus Saves is a killer one.
Thank you for saying that, because that's what I was going to say. I mean, that was the one that's been... When we play live, I've been playing the songs live now, and that's when you can tell, right? You can do all you can hope all you want, but then when he gets in front of the people, that's the truth. That's the truth serum right there. And when we play Jesus Saves, it is another level. I think people want to declare that, and when they get to the He did what I could not do, oh my gosh, it just blows up. And people have never heard. No one's ever heard it when I play it. I'm playing it for the first time, right? And it's just instant. And I love that.
It's singable. It's awesome, man. All right, worship leaders, go listen to that song. Chris, thank you for writing a whole new collection of vertical songs that are about who our God is. Like, thank you for doing that. These are incredible songs for the church, and I just appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation about it.
Man, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much. And just want to say to all those who might listen to this that, you know, I'm on your team. I'm one of you. I'm cheering you on. I've been a part of 3 church plants. I've led worship at Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I'm just with you in it. And what a privilege we get to do this and to point people to the King and remind people that in these days, the King is still the King. And that's an incredible thing to remind people. We put our hope in a lot of things on this earth that fail, and just remind people where our hope is. And thank you so much for letting me share a little bit today and for letting me share about the new music. I'm so excited about it.
All right, everybody. Great conversation with Chris Tomlin. Type down in the comments, what is your favorite, all-time favorite Chris Tomlin song? Also, hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future episodes.